Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You know, you have these experiences now and then that are just, they just make you happy. I'll tell you one. Yesterday, I wish he could have been here today, but he and his wife couldn't be. Yesterday, one of my oldest friends visited us. We had something of a Shabbat dinner together. This is my friend Harry. And Harry and I go back so far, I'll tell you, it's a kind of a funny story. I remember sitting in his room in seventh grade looking at the pictures of the pretty girls in sixth grade. That's how far we go back. Now that's far. And I was bar mitzvahed June 12th, 1965, and Harry's bar mitzvah in the same Orthodox shul was the following Shabbat, Congregation Ohevei Shalom in Merrick, New York. And what a happy thing to be with Harry. Happy being with someone. It's the theme of what I want to talk with you about today in this fifth message on happiness. And you recall from the previous messages that we talked about happiness not from a strictly kind of self-help book approach, not primarily because we want to manage through life with a minimum of pain or anything like that. That really isn't the focus of what we're saying. We're recognizing that happiness is considered a mitzvah, a commandment, that is the pursuit of it, the seeking of happiness, because it's happy people who are able to follow God more easily, because people who are not happy are so distracted with their unhappiness, where when we're happy, we can move ahead walking with God and with one another in a way that pleases Him as we, again, seek to follow Him as a Messianic Jewish community. The point of happiness, again, is not strictly horizontal. It's not just about feeling good or not even about relationships particularly, but it's vertical, primarily. And we talked about Martin Seligman's work. He, a social scientist, who distilled for us the key elements in happiness, what makes people happy. And he came up with this acronym, PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And again, by way of review, he said, listen, the happiest people are people who choose positive emotions. They just gravitate to seeing the cup half full. And then the E was for engagement. Happy people gravitate toward activities where they get so into them and focused that it just makes them happy to be in that kind of space. And then we talked about relationships last week, and this week we're going to continue that theme, because Seligman says, and we all know this, I believe, at some level, but people who gravitate toward relationship with God and relationship with one another tend to be the happiest people. Now, last week, we talked about that vertical relationship with God and how critical it is, and we spoke about one of the major impediments to that relationship or to seeking the relationship is the yes, but. If God is so good, how come there's so much suffering in the world, and how can I trust an unseen God given the fact that bad things happen to relatively good people? And I don't want to recover that ground, but you can listen to it on the web, and if you want to listen to that message. Today, I want to focus on happiness in terms of relating to other people. And it's a huge subject. And how can we, in about 15 minutes more, possibly deal with it? And yet, it is a very important subject, because, again, it is one of the keys to happiness and the keys, really, if we wanted to expand it, to success in life. Now, I want to tell you truthfully, I am so thrilled, and I mean this very sincerely, I'm just so thrilled to be with you. I mean, I'll give you an example. So we have this board. It's roughly 10 people, counting our president emeritus. And we get together once a month for about a 2.5 to 3 hour meeting. We're led by our president, Eric. And I want to tell you, I look forward to those meetings. Now, sure, they're long and they're at the end of a long workday, but they are so much fun. We deal with difficult subjects sometimes. I mean, we really are dealing with the nitty-gritty of building our unique kind of community. But what is so joyful about it, what makes me so happy, and I talk to others of our board members who kind of feel similarly, it's that it's the relationships. It's the honesty mixed with kindness. It's working together to get something done that's holy and good. It's being able to say when someone wasn't able to complete an action item, well, that's cool. Just, you know, we'll bring it up next month. No shame, just joy. And celebrating when things do get done. The whole thing is just joyful, joyful, joyful. Now, I want to talk to you about an aspect of our communal life together, which we need to talk about more, and that is another forum for happiness in relationship. Okay? I would like to talk with you about home groups, also called chavarot, from the Hebrew word chaver, which means, well, in the noun form, is a friend, is a chaver. Okay? So home groups, we use the English most commonly here. The Hebrew would be chavarah for home group, and that's a perfectly good term to use as well. And I want to tell you that being in a home group will make you happy or help you toward happiness. Why? Why? Let's distill this a little bit. Let's analyze this a little bit. First of all, because frankly, we're all social beings. We were intended to be with other people. This is by God's design. Yes, it may have started out with Abraham, but pretty soon there was Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Leah. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's people as social beings spending time together. Conversely, I have found over these many years that people who overly gravitate to being alone, and I'm talking about overly, it's very important to have downtime and to be alone also. Don't get me wrong. We're not supposed to be with people all the time. That is really could be a huge problem. So I don't misunderstand what I'm suggesting. But generally speaking, I have found people who, for example, are forced, and sometimes it's just, you can't help it. You know, it's not their fault. It's just the way it is. But generally, people who live alone for too long tend not to be the happiest people. It's just the way it is. And we can even suggest that there are other downsides, even from a health standpoint, etc. But we are social beings, and we need to be with one another. Now, I want to suggest to you an under-understood truth, a not adequately understood reality. And that is, when we ask, what are the most important human groupings to be part of, I think we can say that there are really two. One, for us, is the local synagogue. Why is that true? Because unlike other institutions of which we all have relationships and are part, there is no other institution under the sun, with the possible exception of one other that I'll mention, where you can share your deepest, deepest perspectives, your worldview, your sense of what's most important in the overarching picture of what it means to be a Jew and to be a human being. There is no other institution. Not too long ago, someone said to me, well, you know, yeah, the synagogue's important, but frankly, I'm part of a lot of institutions. There's my work. I'm part of that. In fact, I spend more time there than almost anywhere. And then there is the sports teams that my kids are involved in. You know, this person enumerated some other institutions. And we would affirm that it's very healthy and good to be part of multiple institutions. But there is none other under the sun, again, with the exception of one that I'll mention in a moment, where there is the most commonality of understanding and perspective on the most important areas of life. Life, death, the issues of meaning, the issues of what is the ultimate purpose of my life, etc., etc. These things are a function of being in a community that addresses those areas. And for those of us who are Messianic Jews, it becomes critically important because it's not that easy to find a place that embodies the totality of the most important perspectives that we share. Number one, that Jewishness is a covenantal identity. It's something God created. It is different than the identity of people who gravitate toward their own national groups, as beautiful as those things are, to be an Eskimo, to be an Italian person, and whatever the national group. But Israel's unique, and that is a perspective that we share. But then we also share this very unique perspective on this unique individual who actually lived in Israel, who actually did do the things we read about him and are predicated about him, and who actually did die and rise again, and the evidence is so strong for that. And this is something that we know in our kishkes. This is something we know deeply. And I'm telling you, the Messianic Jewish Synagogue is the only institution, again, with the possible exception of one other that I'll get to in a moment, that embodies those realities. And I just want to encourage all of us to really drink deeply of that truth. I am not asking you to be friends with everybody. You can't. There are differences of style and personality and culture and age. We get all that. But when you talk about an important institution and a place where relationships need to be formed, and I know I'm speaking to the choir here because you're here, you get this. But it is very important. And again, we'll get to home groups in just a minute. I just want to tell you what the other institution is that is really, really important, and that is the family. The family. Imperfect as they are, families, really, really important. And the ideal situation, it was the family with its natural affinities and memories, shared memories, and liking and loving, when the family also shares its deepest worldview. Wow, then you really got something that very few human beings, and certainly in modern culture, have experienced and enjoyed. Treat it as precious as it is, because that's really important stuff. But when we talk about the synagogue, we want to point out that being here once a week is really not enough. It's good, it's great, but it really isn't enough. And so we come back to the idea of home groups. Now, what happens in a home group? Well, one thing you do is eat. Do you like to eat? Many of us do. And you may think, well, what's the big deal with that? But when we think about the Torah, eating is covenantal. When you sit with people at a meal, there's things going on, even at a subtle spiritual level. It's more than just sharing the potato chips and the kugel. It's more than that. It includes that. And it's joyful. And it makes us happy. But it has a meaning. Yeah, it's an old joke, you know. It goes like this. Speaking of Passover, the summary. Well, they tried to kill us. We won. Now let's eat. Right? Well, you've heard that before. But there's really, it's not far from the truth, because within the Jewish legal framework, right, we have the understanding that rituals are accompanied by a siyudat mitzvah, a meal, which is even commanded, like the Passover Seder is the quintessential example, but there are other examples. At a bar mitzvah, you have a meal afterwards. We just had with Sammy and more recently with the Edelman family. So eating, okay. Now, studying, which we do at home group, is much more than transmitting information. It is sharing life's reflections in terms of the text. Don't underestimate that. It's not just, I'm going to learn something tonight. That's important, very important. But it's, I'm hearing from others and they're hearing from me, and we're allowing the text to be the objective focus. So it's not just just a casual conversation, but from it is insights about one another, points of commonality. Wow, I didn't know you believed that or thought that or felt that. Me too. And becoming a full-orbed human being comes in part from studying, and we mentioned eating, and also praying. Praying is becoming real and vulnerable. Now, the purpose, of course, is to connect with God, and He invites us to pray because He wants to use us and our prayers to change things on the ground, and that's good. But it's more than that. It's in this vulnerability, experiencing who you are and learning who others are, because God hovers over the unformed substance of prayers and brings beauty out of them. So these are the things that happen at home group. And last, but by no means least, is schmoozing. And that's important too, because schmoozing is where friendships are formed. So I am arguing today, as we're talking about happiness, we're spending a few weeks during the summer discussing the issue, and I'm suggesting that home groups are part of the strategy that we have here to help us all become happy. And I want to tell you where the home groups are. Northern Lights, and you can see principally Diane and Sid Cohen, they are up on the North Shore. And then we have Rabbi Nathan and Raina, their home group, now that they're in their new beautiful home, that's going to be kicking up big time, and you're going to be hearing more about that. And then we have a West group, which I think Gary Halzell is the prime mover in, Gary and Betsy, and that's way out west. And see these people and say, listen, I want to be part. And I want to tell you about one more, which I'm going to be starting soon, and we call it a virtual Chavura. And I'm going to just tell you a little bit about this. Some of the folks in the congregation, and perhaps some of you, live too far away from a home group so that after working all day to schlep for a half hour, 45 minutes, whatever the difficulty might be, is just too much. You can't do it. And we understand that. You know, you're only a human being. You can only do what you can do. So what I have discovered, because I started one of these for people who live all over the United States, I have people in Arizona and California and Texas and New Jersey and all over, and these are people, primarily people who don't have Messianic Jewish synagogues, who go to Messianic Jews, who for the most part are at mainstream synagogues. One lady is in a church, and the idea is to help them develop some kind of sense of commonality and give them something of the joy of the home group experience. But it's not the best, because we're not with each other, but it's the best we can do. So I discussed this with the board of Ruach Israel, and we affirmed that it's a good idea to have, and I'm going to start this after the high holidays, a home group, which will meet a couple times a month at night via the computer. I'll tell you more about it another time. There's a particular program that we use that's very effective, and we'll do all the home group things, and we'll also use this as an opportunity for outreach to Jewish and intermarried families who have no contact with us yet, but who are looking for a place to put their toe in the water without committing more deeply at this point. Want to mention that to you too. There's only room for 12 people, 12 families, I should say, in that home group. And so we'll have a sign-up list. We'll ask for a commitment for twice a month to come, and it's first come, first serve. So you'll hear more about that as we go along. So let me conclude with an insight that fits home groups really well from Pirkei Avot. Now, Pirkei Avot is the most accessible portion of the Talmud, and it's something that, interestingly enough, is often studied in synagogues in the summertime. And we've done it here in the summer. So I'm going to quote a famous rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel. We don't know, it could have been the gentleman who's quoted in the book of Acts, the same, but it more likely is his grandson. We're not sure which Gamliel is referred to here in Pirkei Avot, chapter 4, verse 6. Here's what it says. This is the inside of Rabbi Gamliel. And it's from the Talmud. It's not Bible, but it's still very, very, very helpful to us and part of the corpus of the literature that we consider very important. Do not walk out on the community. Ooh. That's a good one. Why? You got to be part of the community, right? Don't walk out on the community and do not have confidence in yourself until the day you die. Ooh, what's that? What does that have to do with home groups, you may wonder? It has everything to do with it. Because we need the implicit accountability that comes with a group of people week after week, month after month, who can help straighten us out when we need to get straightened out. When we rely on ourselves, we ask for trouble. When we have accountability structures that are formalized but also informal, as occurs in a home group situation, then you can feel protected because there are people who are watching your back. And if they see you in trouble, either because of some struggle you're having or because of a mistake you're making, they can take you aside and say, hey, listen, I think that you really need to get your act together. And because you like and trust them, you go, thanks, I needed that, you know? And it's very important for a successful life and for happiness. Listen to this last phrase. This is from the passage from Pirkei Avot. And do not say, when I have time to study, I will study, for you may never have time. And that's the truth. So, I want to argue that home groups are important. Happiness comes to those who are communally minded. Those people who form relationships, some lasting for a lifetime. These people build into their lives formal and informal accountability. These people learn how to live and love. I want to encourage you all. Get happy. Join a home group, Northern Lights, Joiners or the West, or virtual. You won't be sorry. You will be a little bit happy. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Our God, let the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, let the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those. Know your name and study your Torah for Messiah.